Today is the only holiday that matters. Out of all the holidays, there's only one, and it's Father's Day. Listen, I want to say a word to all the dads, but I want you to stand and remain standing. If you're a dad here today, I want you to stand and remain standing. Just stand up. Look, don't sit down. Stand. Look how good looking they all are. Woo, you guys are handsome here today. Dads, I want to tell you something. God in heaven put a spiritual mantle of leadership on you. I didn't do that. You didn't do that. God put that on you. And God created you to be the spiritual leader of your household. It is not your wife's job. It's not your child's job. It's not really my job. It is your job to lead your family. God gave that gift to you. And I'm thankful that you're here in church today because you're saying to your family, you're saying to those underneath your household that being in church and spiritual things are the most important things in life. So thank you for being here today. God bless you for being here. One more thing. After church, out in front, they have wings. And they're in a little paper tray of some sort, and they've got three different levels of hot sauce on them. So you start, they'll tell you, I think it's left to right. You eat the left one, your face starts, and you meet the middle, and then the last one is hot. But if you eat all three, they actually have a trophy. And it's a chicken trophy. And it says wings, like you're the champion of the wings or something on it. You get to actually take a trophy home if you eat all three wings. Now, the last thing they told me, I have no idea what this means. But for those of you that are vegan, they told me they have vegan wings, whatever that is. I don't know what that means. I don't want to know what it means. But let's thank all our dads for being here in church today. Guys, you can be seated. Thank you so much. Today, we want to speak to you on this subject of breaking generational curses, as you've heard. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 20. And if you look at the screen behind me, this is a continuation of last week's sermon, which I preached on overcoming addictions. And if you missed that sermon, you can go to liftupjesus.com, which is the name, the website that's above that door over there. This is the church website here, shepherdchurch.com, but over above this door is the name of the media site where you can go back and watch last week's sermon. So this message is a continuation of last week's message. And then next weekend, I hope you'll come back, we're wrapping up this series called Let Go and Let God. Because so many of us want to be blessed and we want to live a life of audacious faith. But it's just true. There are so many of us that are bound by decisions we've made in the past. And no matter how hard we try, we just can't move forward until we deal with this past. So that's what we're doing in this series. And next weekend, I'll be wrapping this series up with a message on steps that will assure that you have victory moving forward. So today, we're going to start in Exodus chapter 20. There's an outline inside of your bulletin. I'd love to have you take notes, if you will, as we talk about breaking generational curses. This is a very difficult and challenging subject, and you might have more questions at the end than you receive answers here today. but hopefully it will give you pause to think and things to consider. So Exodus chapter 20 is where God gave the Ten Commandments. This is where they're found, Exodus chapter 20. Almost, not all, but almost every law in the United States of America is based on the principles of one of these 10 laws. Now, the very first commandment, I only want to read two. The first is found in verse 3, Exodus 23. Commandment number one, you shall have no other gods before me. In other words, God should be and desires to be the most important thing in your life. Nothing should ever be more important to you than the Creator God of the universe. Commandment number two is found in verse 4. Bible says, you shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven, above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. Verse 5 says, pay attention to these words, you shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Punishing. Everybody say punishing. Punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. I know that sounds unfair. That's what the Bible says. Verse 6, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and who keep my commandments. And all God's people said. This particular warning of children suffering to the third and fourth generation due to the sins of their parents is mentioned four different places in the Bible. Now, it doesn't use the phrase generational curse, but often that's what we refer to those passages. We do know several things. I want you to write this down. According to Deuteronomy chapter 28, there are curses for disobeying God, according to that chapter. There are 53 verses. That's 53. I can't show them to you because that'd be 53 slides. But I would encourage you to read through Deuteronomy chapter 28 in the Old Testament. There's a list of blessings for those who obey, and there's a list of curses for those who disobey that are passed down to future generations from the parents and the people who do not follow God. In other words, none of us live in a vacuum. Anytime anyone chooses to obey God, there are consequences to that decision. And likewise, when you choose to disobey God, there are consequences that are actually measurable. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, and I want to encourage you to do this. This is what I did this week. I got a blank piece of paper, just a blank, nothing on it, and a pen. And then I opened up my Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to write down all the curses that I see in this chapter. I'm not applying it to anything. I just want to see what the curses are. Now, I want to encourage you to do this. You don't need to have a Bible college degree, seminary degree. You don't need anybody helping you. All you need is a blank piece of paper and a Bible and a pen. Open it up. Read what those curses are. Now, here's a partial list of what I wrote down, what I read. The curses that are placed. This is in the Bible. Tragedy, hunger, plagues, diseases, fever, sickness, drought, defeat, insanity, blindness, oppression, injustice, divorce, poverty, homelessness, war, slavery, idolatry, ridicule, illegal aliens, that's in the chapter, debt, thirst, drought, suffering, division, selfishness, disasters, persecution, anxiety, and fear. As I was reading it, it reminded me of the United States of America in which I live. It's amazing. Read through the list. They are not all the curses in the Bible that are mentioned, because beyond that list in Deuteronomy chapter 28, as you read throughout the Bible, there's all kinds of curses that are mentioned. The Bible says, cursed is the man who makes an idol in Deuteronomy 27. The Bible says, cursed is anyone who disobeys his parents. Children, are you listening? Proverbs 27, 16. The Bible says in Proverbs 28, cursed is the man who gives nothing to the poor. Malachi 3, 9, cursed is the man who robs God of his tithes and offerings. It's in the Bible. Proverbs 17, 13, cursed is anyone who rewards evil. Jeremiah 17, verse 5, cursed is the person who trusts in man and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Now, these are just a few. The word curse is found 185 times in your Bible. Now, when you read that word, what does it mean? If you read the Bible and you see this word curse, what does it mean? Well, write this down. It could mean like when you swear, you use a curse word. We see this example by Peter in the New Testament in Mark chapter 13. God said, before the rooster crows, you're gonna deny me three times. And after the resurrection, Peter is there warming his hands at a fire. Little teenage girl comes up, says, you're one of the disciples. And the Bible says that he curses and he denies that he even knows the Lord. So it could be that. It could be, write this down, like witchcraft, when you put a spell on someone, or what we would call a hex. It's when someone claims, they claim to have supernatural power, and they put a hex on you of some sort. Now, I want to clarify something to every person here. Only God has supernatural power. Or God, if God allows Satan limited power, as in the example of when God allowed Satan to curse Job, we read about that, and afflict pain in order to test his family. God allowed Satan to do that. But whenever we read the word curse, usually most people, we think of this spell or a hex. And the reason we go there is because we've watched Beauty and the Beast too many times. We've watched Cinderella too many times. That there's this magical spell that has been placed upon someone, and the only way to reverse the curse of the spell is to perform some heroic act of valor, and in so doing, it countermagics the magic, we reverse the curse. But I will tell you, even though that's where our mind goes, that's very rarely seen in Scripture. What this word means, I want you to write this down, when you hear the word curse, it really means the consequence of sin. The consequence of disobedience. We know there are always consequences anytime anybody disobeys God's word. It's not, and I want you to hear me, I don't believe that God puts a spell or a hex on an individual as much as we have what's called the laws of God, and anytime you break the laws of God, you're going to suffer some type of consequence from that. For example, God has a law called the law of gravity. And if I take a big hammer and I just throw it up in the air and I act like I don't believe in the law of gravity, and that hammer comes down and hits me in my head, well, I'm gonna have a big gash, I'm gonna have to go to the hospital, I'm gonna have to get a tetanus shot, I'm gonna have to get some stitches, I'm gonna be bleeding and bruised on my head. There's a lot of consequences, all because I fooled around with one of God's laws. Well, likewise, God's word, this book, is perfect in every way. Everybody say perfect. These laws are perfect. And anytime I choose to break one of God's laws, I will be cursed, so to speak, with all the consequences of committing that sin or justifying my sin. We know what the Bible says in Galatians 6, 7. It says a man reaps what a man sows. It's a law of God. We also know Romans 3, 23 says the wages of sin is death. But what the Bible teaches is not only will I suffer the consequences, but that my children and my grandchildren will suffer consequences of decisions that I have made. So number two, write this down. There's always a ripple effect. Anytime someone disobeys God, there are natural consequences and there are spiritual consequences. Now, I've told you this before, and you're going to hear me say it again if you hang around here very long. But God in heaven was the one who designed and created man and women. And he only created two genders. Some of you are confused. You either have XX or XY. You're male or female, that's it, okay? Now you can think you're something else, but you're one of those two. So his thought was, I'm gonna create man to be this and woman to be this, and they're gonna come together in the parameter of marriage. We're never supposed to come together unless we're married. And so, but he said, I'm gonna create man. It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be exciting. I got some great things. And they're gonna have man and woman. And when they come together, married. God goes, I'm gonna give him a little baby. Junior. And he's gonna look like his mama. He's gonna look like his daddy. God's plan, this was his plan, God's plan, his intent was that when little Junior was born, that that child would have a godly dad and a godly mom pouring into that little baby's life and caring for him. It was also his intent that that little baby would have godly grandparents, that the dad, that godly dad, that his mom and dad would be godly grandparents. And then on the wife's side, her parents, the other grand set of grandparents, so that that child, this was his intent. The intent was that whenever a baby was born, that that child would have six grown adults who all love God pouring into the life of that child. And if that child has that, no matter what's going on in the world, that child's gonna turn out right. But today, Satan has destroyed the family unit with divorce, abuse, and neglect. Today, when a child is born, that child is lucky if it has even one adult pouring spiritual truth into their life. You see, there's a ripple effect of godless schools, godless marriages, godless parenting, godless government, godless dads, godless moms, and godless homes. Instead of that child's heart being taught Bible truth, Bible stories, having a Christian heritage, knowing that Jesus is the Savior of the world, and that child having set an example by its parents and grandparents what the fruit of the Spirit is all about, and these principles called not just love, but agape love, and seeing a thing called holiness, and learning the Ten Commandments, and knowing there's a heaven, and knowing there's a hell, and knowing that Jesus saves, and the grace of Jesus Christ, instead of that child getting all that, now Satan has seized control, and the result is we have an entire nation living under a curse of some sort. Now, there are natural traits or natural consequences that are handed down from generation to generation. My dad, this has nothing to do with anything spiritual, he was a St. Louis Cardinal baseball fan, and I today am a St. Louis Cardinal baseball fan. People ask me all the time, why do you root for the Cardinals? Well, I only have one answer. It's because my dad did. My dad loved Mexican food. And we went every day to eat Mexican food. And he always said, could you bring more salsa? How many of you say that? We all do. What's wrong with these Mexican restaurants? Bring lots of salsa. But anyway, it wasn't for the chips. Dad literally would just take the bowl and start drinking it like communion. And so guess who likes Mexican food? I've just raised that way. My dad roots for the Oklahoma Sooners in football, so I'm an Oklahoma Sooner football fan. My dad loved to read books, and he had a huge library. So guess who has a large library? Now, none of that is spiritual. Those are just natural things that get passed down from generation to generation. But spiritual traits are also passed down as well. We know for a fact, statistically, that children raised in divorced homes are more likely to be divorced themselves. It's a fact that children raised in homes where adults lie, cheat, and steal are more likely to lie, cheat, and steal themselves. Children raised in homes where parents commit abuse are more likely to be abusers themselves. Children raised by alcoholic adults are more likely to become alcoholics themselves. Those are just the statistics. The opposite is just as true. A child raised by faithful followers of Jesus Christ are more likely to become faithful followers of Jesus Christ themselves. Children raised by parents who go to church every Sunday are more likely to have children who end up going to church than those who do not go to church. Children raised by parents who don't get a divorce are more likely not to get a divorce themselves. I have three grandsons. I want to show you this picture. This is Boo Boo, Simba, and Hey Hey. That's their nicknames. Now I'm holding Hey Hey by the, because he would run off. So, why are they dressed in Kansas City jersey? Why? Well, I grew up, I was born in Oklahoma, but I grew up in Wichita, Kansas. We're from Kansas. My side of the family is from Kansas. My wife, her side of the family, from Kansas. They still live in Kansas City. So when the Kansas City Chiefs finally won the Super Bowl, my wife's side of the family is trying to brainwash these three kids. So they sent us three Patrick Mahomes, number 15, Kansas City jerseys. Praise God they weren't Raiders or those rotten Cowboys. How many Cowboy fans we have out here? You guys. So, now there's nothing unusual about this, is there? Is there anything unusual about that? It's normal. Everybody say it's normal. They're going to grow up rooting for the Kansas City Chiefs. So, what's important about this picture is it was taken last Sunday. Those three kids in their Kansas City jerseys were in church last Sunday. Because their mom and their dad bring them to church every single week. And they got grandparents who pour into them and pray with them. And so it's not just natural things. There are spiritual consequences for children and grandchildren. We all understand that. Amen? In the 1700s, there was a man named Max Jukes. He did not believe in Jesus. He never went to church, never took his children to church. He had close to 1,000 descendants. This is in New York. And they did a search on what happened to these 1,000 descendants. 100 of them went to prison. 90 of them became prostitutes. 145 of them became alcoholics. 300 of them had some type of social disease. Another 300 became delinquents that cost the taxpayers of New York millions of dollars. But during that exact same period of time, there was a Puritan preacher by the name of Jonathan Edwards, who was an uncompromising theologian and pastor and a man of prayer. He had 1,400 descendants. They looked at his descendants. 13 of them became college presidents. 65 of them became prominent lawyers. 32 became noted authors. 90 became doctors. 86 of them became state senators. 30 of them became judges. One of them became the vice president of the United States of America. And 200 of them became ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we know that how a person lives, that there are things that go through following generations. But what does this have to do with all of us here today? We know there are generational blessings and curses. Write this down. But here's what you need to know, that no one is held responsible for someone else's iniquity. In other words, if you're here today and your parents and your grandparents were evil, wicked, deceitful people who engaged in every imaginable sin, your relatives, they robbed banks, they stole from children, they rooted for SC, I'm talking evilness. God will hold your ancestors responsible for their sins. He's not going to hold you responsible. You might suffer some consequences from their sins, but you're not responsible. The Bible says in Ezekiel 18, look at these words, verse 20, the soul who sins is the one who will die. The son will not share the guilt of the father, nor will the father share the guilt of the son. Yes, you might have to endure some sort of consequence for a wayward parent or a wayward grandparent, but the actual guilt, shame, and condemnation of that sin cannot be passed on to you. That's not how it works. However, write this down. No one is excused from your own iniquity. God holds each of us accountable for our own sins. This is why we need Jesus. Can someone say amen? Even if you've suffered the consequences of bad parenting, you are without excuse for your own iniquity. Because when you stand before God, you won't be able to blame anyone else for your sin. You won't be able to blame anybody else or make excuses for your disobedience. The Bible says in Hebrews 9, verse 27, just as man is destined to die once and after that to face the judgment. That's why you want Jesus there on your behalf. Ultimately, we each will stand before a holy God and give account for every word and every deed, the choices that we've made or not made. So to be clear, whatever has happened in your ancestry, none of that will excuse you from your own responsibility and your own iniquity. In other words, you can't blame anybody else for your sins. But here's our question, number three. How do I break free from generational curses? Number one, we start here. You have to acknowledge the curse and make the decision to be free from all generational curses. If you're here today and you are tired of a particular vice that runs in your family, it's time for you to be set free. And it's time for you to start living under the blessing of God. It starts with you admitting the problem. We talked about this last week when we talked about addictions. You have to own your situation. You have to admit and acknowledge the issue, the sin, the circumstance. Is it an addiction? Is it anger? Is it lack of time management? Is it abuse? Is it alcohol? Is it drugs, sickness, gambling, lust, perversion, laziness, indifference, unfaithfulness, idolatry, fear, depression, lack of purpose, Galatians 5:1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." Jesus came to set you free. But it starts with you first admitting and confessing and determining that you want to go in a different direction. Which leads us to number two, you have to fully surrender to Jesus. That's the only place our hope lies, is in Jesus. Jesus in John 8, verse 31 said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." If you want to be set free from your past, if you want to be set free from your sin, if you want to be set free from your addiction, if you want to be set free from any curse, there's only one place to find peace. There's only one place to find forgiveness. There's only one place to find joy. There's only one place to find new life. That's by absolute total surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. The bottom line, a generational curse comes through a bloodline. And the only thing that can break the curse of a bloodline is the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no curse. There is no consequence. There's no bondage. There's no yoke. There's no chain that can't withstand the power of Jesus' blood. Depression cannot overcome the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus breaks the chain of depression. The blood of Jesus breaks the chain of generational curses. The blood of Jesus breaks the curse of sin. Only in Jesus Christ can you be set free. And number three, this is going to sound very strange to some of you. You have to confess the sins of your parents and your forefathers. You say, "Preacher, what in the world are you talking about?" Well, in Leviticus chapter 26, God told Israel to confess the sins of their fathers. Now, I understand me confessing my own sins, but why would God ask a generation to confess the sins of their forefathers? Well, in all things, God asked that our hearts be pure and open and transparent. And somewhere you're here today as the result of all of your ancestors. And if you're struggling with anything in your life that you feel has been passed down, you have to get to a point where you acknowledge where these things came from. But you're saying, "It stops now with my generation." I think it speaks to the fact that you are aware of the unfaithfulness of your ancestors, but you're also acknowledging that the buck stops here and the buck stops now. There are no more excuses. There's no more blaming anyone else. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And this is a whole nother sermon that I don't have time to go into. But it's one of the main reasons why we can't let go of the past. When you acknowledge the sins of your forefathers, that it's going to stop now for future generations. I don't want the next 3 to 4 generations to be cursed. I want the next 1,000 generations to be blessed, right? But in order to do that, you've got to learn to forgive. You've got to learn to forgive your ancestors. You have to acknowledge the sin because you don't want to ignore that things happened. So you acknowledge that they happened and you acknowledge that they were wrong. But before you move on, you have to learn to forgive, because if you can't forgive, then you're the one that's held in bondage and you can never move forward until you learn how to forgive. You say, but I was really mistreated by a lot of people. I understand that. I think as a nation, we have to acknowledge the sins of our forefathers. And at the same time, we have to learn to forgive. Because if you acknowledge without forgiveness, you're never set free. And that only is possible through Jesus Christ. Only through Jesus can we forgive someone who's mistreated us, because we've experienced the grace from Almighty God ourselves. And that leads me to the last thing, and don't anybody leave, because we're all gonna stand and we're gonna say a prayer today where we're gonna break all generational curses here today. But number four, you gotta start today. Start today. The blood of Jesus has the power to release the grip of all generational curses and set you on a path to bless the next 1,000 generations. Once you've been set free, the course of your life affects generations to come. You'll have to forgive me, but I cannot speak today without talking about my dad, who passed away in 2020. And I wish all of you could have heard him preach. But not my grandfather, my great-grandfather. My dad, grandfather, great-grandfather, who I never met. He was a famous, famous lawyer in the state of Oklahoma. He was the F. Lee Bailey of his generation. I actually have newspaper articles from the 1900s. When he died, all these articles that were written about him, because he was a famous, well-known lawyer in Oklahoma. Well, his son, my grandfather, my dad's dad, he too was a lawyer. And when he was in his 20s, he was working for the United States government, working out of the Tulsa County Courthouse. And when he was in his late 20s, early 30s, he decides he's gonna no longer be a lawyer and he's gonna be a preacher. And they say that when my grandfather preached during the invitation time, he'd start to preach, there wouldn't be a dry eye, and that everybody would wanna come forward, because he was so good. Now, where'd he learn that from? Well, he learned that from his daddy, who was this world famous lawyer. And he learned how to talk in court to juries. And my grandfather had that ability in him. But my grandfather decides to become a minister. He had 3 sons, one of which is my dad. All 3 sons of my grandfather, all 3 of them became preachers. My dad had 5 children. I'm the middle. I'm the only normal one. I'm not the oldest. I'm not spoiled like the baby. I'm the most well-rounded. But both of my sisters married ministers, and both of my brothers are ministers. My uncles, who are ministers, had children. Those are my cousins. They're ministers. Where'd all these ministers come from? Well, it happened when my grandfather left the courtroom and decided he'd be a preacher. They said he never went to college, but he'd been to Calvary. And I think, in many ways, if my grandfather hadn't made that decision, I'm not sure I'd be here today. I think maybe I'd be a lawyer. And I'd be reasoning with people why someone was guilty or not guilty. But God used the change, the direction of that one man to change future generations to come. And I always tell that story, and there's always someone sitting out here, they always have, oh, you're so lucky. My family's so messed up, so jacked up. They're nothing but a bunch of creeps and criminals. I'm lucky to even be alive. And I say to you, well, why don't you be the first to come today and say, from this day forward, things are gonna change. You be the first. Okay. We're going to say this prayer. We're going to break all generational curses. Let's all stand. We're going to say it together. It's on the screen here. Now, I want to let you in on, I just want to tell you, oh, you don't want to leave. Why would you leave now? This is unbelievable. It's just unbelievable to me. But anyway, focus, Dudley, focus. I just want you to know there's three slides. How many?
Three.
Okay, you ready?
Yes.
You gonna read it with me?
Yes.
We're gonna pray it together?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
We're gonna break all generational curses. Read it out loud with me. Here we go. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come to you sincerely with a desire to be free from all the curses and their results. Lord Jesus, I thank you for saving me and cleansing my sin at the cross. I confess with my mouth that I belong to you. The devil has no power over me because I'm cleansed and covered by your precious blood. I now confess all of my sins, known and unknown. I repent of them now in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me. I now confess the sins of all my forefathers. In the name and by the blood of Jesus Christ, I break and renounce the power of every demonic curse that was passed down to me through the sins and actions of others. In the name of Jesus Christ, I break the power and hold of every generational curse that came to me through sin, my sins, and the sins of my forefathers. In the name of Jesus Christ, I break the power and hold of every curse that came to me through words spoken and through disobedience, mine or my forefathers. In the name of Jesus Christ, I declare every legal hold and every legal ground of the enemy broken and destroyed. Through the curses, Satan no longer has a legal right to harass my family line. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, I am free. Thank you, Jesus, for setting me free. Here we go. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command all demonic spirits that are harassing me through curses to leave me now. I confess that my body, soul, and spirit are the dwelling places of the Spirit of God. I am redeemed, cleansed, sanctified, and justified by the blood of Jesus. Therefore, neither Satan nor his demons have any place in me nor any power over me because of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for setting me free. Amen and amen.